on the front porch. We're going to talk a little bit about some pop culture things that we like, stuff we like, or in the case of Lori, stuff you don't like. Lori Lynn is, of course, our conservative columnist and host. Hey, Lori.
Hi, Scott.
And Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Rick, how you
doing? Hey, Scott.
And I'll start. There's this podcast you should check out called Hillbilly Nerd Talk. It is a couple. They're married, Eastern Kentucky, and they just sit around and talk nerdy stuff. And I tell you, it is the Venn diagram that includes me and our audience, I think, a lot of you. Not everyone, but some of you would fit in this Venn diagram of hillbillies and nerds. The last episode was about the eclipse, Game of Thrones, of course, and then scrappers, which are people they hired to get all the scrap junk out of a building they own. Really cool. Hillbilly Nerd Talk. Shout out to them. I love both aspects of their personality. Speaking of Game of Thrones, Lori.
Yeah, what's this?
My Twitter feed, you know, every Sunday night was just getting taken over by just Game of Thrones tweets. And so let me just tell you my Game of Thrones perspective. I watched the very first episode. And first there was the brother and sister, the twins, you know, in an incestuous relationship. And then there was the little kid that gets pushed out the window at the end. And I was like, no, I'm done. You know, this is not edifying in any way. I'm completely done. So I guess my question to you guys is, did I make a mistake? Should I have stuck with it? Because, you know, to me, when you say you should stick with it, I'm kind of like, no, this is entertainment. It shouldn't hurt.
Well, you know, it's a tough question for me because someone gave me the book when I had a Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Okay, so you read the books.
I read the books, okay. And I had a fever of like 104, so, you know, it probably did something to me. But the first episode was actually before things got dark on there, Lori,
let me just say.
And can I just say how the show warps your mind in such a way that at the beginning, the brother and the sister are in this incestuous relationship and you say, ick. Now, 7 seasons later, I find myself rooting for a nephew and his aunt to get together. They don't know that they're related. It's a long story.
So is this breaking some kind of taboo in our society? I mean, is that something that we
definitely
should be worried about?
Definitely when you see a brother and sister like in a loving, kind of hot relationship over and over again for 7 years, it does kind of break down.
So this is continued
Faulkner
for
went there
7
first.
Years?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, geez.
William Faulkner went there first. Well, probably not even first. But I would say the author of the books and now the show is sort of like God in that he develops many interesting people and then kills them. The other thing I'll say about it, there is moral growth in Game of Thrones. Like one of the incestuous brother, who you think total, over time he actually, you know, there's a little bit of growth and change, which might give you.
But still with the incest, right? I mean, it's still.
Lori's not getting over it.
I don't mean to be a prude, but it's just, and even in the first episode, I mean, like you said, it was portrayed like so positively, I thought, that I don't know. I just, yuck.
If you can't get over the incest, Lori, you probably don't want to watch the rest of it. It's all downhill
from
there.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of fans of the show are really upset with the last season because they haven't killed off enough of the favorite characters. Like, one of the things about the show is that they have no compunction about killing off the person that is like the most favorite person that season. It's just gone. And now the fans are upset because they've stopped doing that. So go figure.
It's also a good metaphor when you see like the intrigues going on at the Capitol or wherever in your organization. It's like Game of Thrones, hillbilly style. You know, there's all these different variations on it. And winter is coming, guys. Just saying.
So I understand it's an actual kind of mystery, or there's a suspenseful, like, who is actually going to be on the throne at the end of the whole thing is like the question.
And then there's this larger you're really going to dislike this, I think. The larger overarching theme is that winter is coming and these magical creatures are going to invade and kill off all humankind. And it's sort of a metaphor for climate change, supposedly. Some people say that. So, you know, there's this overarching issue as well.
Honestly, that would be fine. Except for the incest. And the pushing little kids out the window.
How about you, Rick?
Well, Lori issues certain fatwas from time to time. And before we started recording, she issued another one about social media, which I'm really going to think about. This is Lori's rule, you know, get political on Twitter, Facebook, just show pictures of your kids. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, so I'm obviously, I tweet a lot. I tweet a lot about politics and
full contact.
Right. And I follow people whose political opinions I'm interested in. On Facebook, I probably am not interested in your political opinion if I'm a Facebook friend of yours. I want to see the kids' pictures, wedding pictures. I want to know if your parents died. I want to know what's going on in your life. But if you're sharing articles, political stuff, if you have, you know, your five-paragraph rant about how disgusted you are with whoever, you know, a national political figure, I'm going to block you. I'm sorry. When you do that on Facebook, it feels like you've come into my living room at night and just started yelling at me about that. And, you know, I realize that not everyone feels that way, but that's just how I separate the two.
I'm with you
right,
on that.
Right. I wish there was like a button that you could, you know, just block the politics.
Yeah, I don't want to block you. I want to see your kids. I don't want to see your politics.
Also, like, you know, if it's like 1 a.m, you're on beer 7, and you're getting ready to do a screw you guys thing to people you went to school, it's probably not going to be a great contribution to world literature.
It sounds like you're speaking from experience, Rick.
I have no comment on that.
All right, Rick, your turn. What is your pop culture contribution?
Well, mine, I'm sort of a Walking Dead guy, but it's, you know, we don't have, we're on Netflix, so I'm like a year behind everything, so don't tell me, you know, if Glenn dies, you know, just don't even go there. And it's the kind of thing, my wife also issues fatwas. Many women I know issue these rulings.
It's our privilege as women.
There's a ban on Walking Dead when my wife is around. So, you know, in the fall, I often encourage her to visit folks in Vermont so I can binge watch a season.
Is there incest on The Walking Dead?
No, just, you know, dead things eating people and a little bit of it. Actually, though, the weird thing with that is in the beginning, you think it's the walkers that are the problem, and then you realize, no, they're just things. The real danger is other people. Sort of Hobbesian, in a way. I'm kind of dark these days.
It's almost like you guys watch TV for different reasons. I mean, Laura, you want to be entertained and maybe escape a little bit. You definitely don't want to see, like, the evilest things in the universe, whereas you're seeking that out, Rick.
Yeah, that might be true. Yeah.
In fantasy world, I think it doesn't bother me that Bren got pushed out a window. But I hate it when you're watching a show and you get to know a child in a family, and then that child is, you know, kidnapped or killed. And I worry about my own children enough. I don't need to worry about fictional children.
Okay, I have a story. I can watch really dark things, but then I'd watch like the first few minutes of American Horror Story, and it was about a kid who cut herself, and I couldn't watch that. Mm. You know, so it's like we all have our limits, I think.
Do you guys like reality TV? Because, see, now you're talking about these, you know, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, clearly fantasy. I mean, I can't even watch cooking shows. It's all too real for me.
I will say that the one exception to the rule for me is the British baking show.
I've heard that's really good. Yeah.
They're just so nice. They're so pleasant. It's like there's this outside challenge. They make them do impossible, hard dishes and things. From the inside, they created this atmosphere where they're just supportive and challenging, but helpful and nice. And gosh, I mean, that's life, isn't it? There's enough challenging stuff on the outside with the world. You don't have to create a reality show like The Apprentice, egging people on to be nasty to each other and to cut each other.
Right,
in
it's like
back.
That manufactured conflict. I can't stand that.
I do have, like, several years ago, just channel surfing, Celebrity Apprentice was on. It was like when Gary Busey and Meatloaf were on there. And it was like watching, you know, a slow motion train derailment or something. It was kind of fascinating. And then one time Gene Simmons was on there, the lead singer from Kiss, the guy with the big tie. And every time he would talk to an executive, he would try to charm them by saying, "You're a powerful and attractive man." So there's certain friends I know, we greet each other like that, or just, "Yeah, Pam," you know, we just abbreviate that in our emails. So, Scott, you are a powerful and attractive man.
To end the show, we do want to address some of the criticism about our previous show. This was about subsidies for the coal industry being proposed by Jim Justice to supposedly help with national security. And then, Laura, you brought up the fact that wind and solar, they already receive subsidies. And some of our listeners objected to the fact that they felt like we didn't talk enough about the externalities of coal, the cost in things like pollution or climate change. And so we'll talk about it now. Do you think that's a fair point, Lori, that we should talk more about the externalities of coal?
I think that's totally fair. And I don't think I was being really critical or praising the renewable subsidies. My only point was that in a conversation about how hypocritical the coal companies are being by asking for subsidies, you have to at least acknowledge that their competition, in fact, is getting billions of dollars worth of subsidies. And I feel like people don't always want to acknowledge that. They want to say, oh, coal isn't competitive. Well, one reason they're not competitive is because the competition is getting a lot of subsidies. So you have to at least, I think, tip your hat to that.
Several environmental friends either send me emails or talk to me about it. You know, my point is we talk for an hour, it gets cut down to 20 minutes on the podcast and 8 minutes on the radio. So, you know, all the good stuff that was rational has been cut out. One,
I do that on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah, I work at it hard.
We go and he thinks, how's he going to really stick it to us? So
we sound so much smarter.
Yeah, way much.
Than we come across.
And I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking during this thing specifically about Justice's plan, which we agreed on. And my point, too, is that, you know, for all the ideology of the market, most corporations will suck up any subsidies they can while demonizing someone who gets $40 in SNAP benefits. So that's the hypocrisy I was going after. Yeah, they're all kind of externalities. We've talked about that a lot, and we're going to talk about it more, I'm sure. But I was chasing a different rabbit at the time.
And just to end the show, we were talking about haiku, which is a Japanese form of poetry that we are all enamored of, and trying to come up with a haiku on coal mining. Okay, here we go.
Dark rock from the earth.
Mined at a tremendous cost.
Which of us will pay?
Drop the mic.
And that's The Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn. That was Lori Lynn and Rick Wilson. Thanks for listening. Thank you.